Hey guys, today's episode is with Mari Blackman of Premise. Mari raised an $85 million Series E round completely virtually over Zoom. So we talk about some of the tactics and hacks he used to improve his Zoom pitch meetings. If you like this, please leave us a nice review in the Apple iTunes store and then email me at info@foundersuite.com, and I will send you a list of 500 venture capital firms that prefer to lead around. One of the hardest parts about fundraising is finding a lead investor. So this is a great list of that. So leave us a nice review, email me, and I'll send that off to you. Otherwise, enjoy the show.
Welcome to How I Raised It, the podcast that goes behind the scenes with entrepreneurs who've raised capital. We uncover the tips, tricks, and techniques they use to get investors to write a check. Strap in and turn it up.
Hi, welcome to another episode of How I Raised It, produced by Foundersuite.com. Today I have Mari Blackman of Premise coming to us from the Marina District in San Francisco. How's your day going?
It's going well, thank you.
Good. We were, before the call, we were comparing notes about the Marina, which is you just moved back there recently and kind of re-exploring the Marina.
No, I did. It was been a fun journey for me. I actually moved to the Bay Area to start my own business back in 2000. And we originally consolidated the operations here in San Francisco, but then due to costs and other things, we decided to move the business out to San Ramon. And I moved my whole family out there. So I was there for 18 years, and I'm just super excited to be back in the city again. You know, definitely things will turn here in the next few months, and, you know, life will be back to normal, but you know, it's a great place here. I love it.
That's great. I lived in SF for 22 years and then just moved about a year and a half ago up to Marin for the kid situation, schools and all that stuff. But I would love to move back. I think I'd love to move back to like North Beach area and be a retired person in North Beach. Like,
well, once my kids moved on to college, it just made a ton of sense to relocate ourselves back here to the city. And it's been great. Now I love Marin too, by the way. I'm a big cyclist and runner and, you know, do a lot of activities up there in Marin. And it's so cool being here in the Marina. You can just pop across the bridge and it's game on.
Absolutely. Good. Very good. All right. So what is Premise? What do you guys do?
So at the highest level, we're a data collection company that provides insights for our customers. So we have a global network of contributors of ordinary individuals that we have found through social media and other referral programs. They download our app from the app stores, both on either Google Play or iOS. And once they get it on their phone, we run them through some training exercises. They give us banking information. And then once everything checks out, they can enter into a task marketplace where our clients have posted small data collection jobs that are providing them information about their policies, their brands, their programs, the shelf space that they're getting in stores, you know, pretty much anything that is relevant to the decision making around their products and programs. And, it's a really interesting industry. I mean, we talk about it. It's the market intelligence industry. It's a $50 billion space that's been primarily underserved by Silicon Valley and the tech industry broadly. So we feel like that the time is now for a company like Premise with smartphones and cloud technology to really disrupt this space and, give people the information about their businesses so they're not flying blind.
So let's go through a couple scenarios, and maybe one you sort of touched on is like shelf space. So I'm a consumer products brand. I want to see if I'm actually getting the end caps that I think I'm getting. And so I have an army of shoppers, people out there kind of verifying that I've got the end cap, something like that, or what's the
matter? Exactly. So, let's say you're one of our contributors. You'd wake up in the morning, you would look at your phone and say, oh, there's a task to go to, go to the Whole Foods or the Safeway, there in your neighborhood, and, take some pictures of, pretty much any product. It could be soft drinks on the shelf, new products, whatever it would be. But it's basically giving, what we're able to do for our clients is not only provide them with, you know, the photograph of here it is on the shelf, but also they can opine on, you know, does this look like it's, you know, would you grab this product? What do you think about this product relative to the its competitors? So it's giving them a level of insights that they wouldn't normally be able to capture. And they can do it at scale too. I think that's the most important part.
That's interesting. Is it, and for the people in the field doing this, is this just sort of, is this something they can make a living at, like an Uber driver? Or is it more just, I'm out shopping anyway, I might as well pick up an extra 10 bucks or some number, you know, while I'm out there?
Well, it varies, of course, right? I mean, some people take it much more seriously than others. We have a very large number of contributors, and our clients are very interested in what's happening in difficult places to reach in the world, like Southeast Asia, Philippines, Thailand, places where they normally wouldn't be able to hire people to just go in there and do an audit. And so, you know, this really makes the most sense. Now, in those parts of the world, I feel like that, you know, what we're doing is providing extra income for them.
Yeah, got it. Interesting. And I'm thinking back years ago, I did a little time on Wall Street covering stocks, researching stocks, and, you know, we're always trying to find an edge, like studying Google satellite images of a parking lot at a retailer. Like, is it busier this year than last year? And trying to find these little edges. Is it used by Wall Street or more?
Oh, absolutely. So when we go into, you know, any region, any new country, one of the things that we do is we collect data just to keep the networks warm. So while we do have a robust amount of client requests in pretty much every location we're in, we also collect a basket of data items that we feel like is useful. And so one of those, I mean, you wouldn't be surprised since you spent some time on Wall Street, is pricing information. So a basket of CPI type goods and services that you can price out and measure over time to see, you know, how prices are fluctuating in foreign markets.
Interesting. Yeah, makes sense. Good. How, and what were you doing before this, or where did this idea come from? What's the backstory here?
Yeah. So, well, actually I didn't found the company. I moved here in 2000, as I mentioned earlier, to start my own company, a company called Accelo, which was a regulatory platform for government. And I built that business and ran it for many years, 17 to be exact, and sold it to Berkshire Partners back in 2017. This opportunity came to me. The business was started in 2012. The technology wasn't quite paired up with the vision, but right, as smartphones have become so pervasive in the world, it really seemed like the time to bring a go-to-market CEO, that's really my specialty, into the mix in 2018. Yep. And so the board recruited me to come in here and do that. And, we've actually seen phenomenal results over the past couple of years.
Interesting. Cool. Well, very neat. Is there, what was I going to say? Are you focused, like, what are the markets you're focused on? Well, we'll get to fundraising about one more question, but I just want to kind of understand the business a little bit more.
Yeah. So we work with government agencies, international development agencies, and Fortune 500 companies. That's the segments that we originally set out to serve when I joined the company. You know, Premise is a market intelligence platform, is a very horizontal app. So we can essentially serve every industry out there. But, you know, as a Silicon Valley startup, we have to be conscientious of where we focus our efforts. So we really look for the low-hanging fruit, the partners who could really help put the wheels underneath this. So working with people like USAID, Gates Foundation, many others enable us to really grow this thing globally at scale and provide a platform to really operate and help out smaller businesses in the future.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Let's talk about raising money. So how much have you guys raised overall and how many rounds?
So we have raised, the company in general has, we just raised our Series E. It's about $150 million in total money brought into the business. This last round of Series E was an $85 million raise and really given us the dry powder that we need to build this business and scale it, not just globally, but really focus on providing services to smaller businesses, not just the largest, most complex companies and organizations in the world.
So tell us the story of raising this Series E. I think you may be the first person on the show to do a Series E. We've had multiple, you know,
A, B, and C. Yeah. So, well, when, you know, I think one thing that could provide a little bit more color on that, when I joined the company, we did a very quick inside round is a D for just $15 million, just to kind of shore things up and give myself and the new management team the runway to be able to execute a plan.
Yep.
And, you know, the idea was that we would do a quick round and, you know, spend that over the next year. And then as we moved into the spring of 2020, we would execute a more formal and serious raise.
Okay. Yep.
Now, I think the real interesting thing here is that, you know, of course, like everybody out there, you know, businesses were kind of ticking along. And then, you know, this crazy thing called the global pandemic hit us. And it really threw, you know, this business and pretty much every other business that I'm associated with, you know, into somewhat of a, I'd say, I don't want to say it's a tailspin, but, you know, a lack of confidence about what to do next. You know, should I lay people off? Should, you know, what should we be doing? And my, you know, my initial reaction is we need to batten down the hatch here.
Yep.
And ride this thing out into the summer, because I, you know, I was one of these people who thought, wow, you know, this is really bad. But by the time we roll into the summer and the warmer months, things will dissipate a little bit and I'll be able to hit the road and raise money.
Yeah.
I had a few people talk about the potential of doing things online through Zoom and Hangout and the like. And I just said, there is no way that will work. It just won't. You need to have that face-to-face with investors, both for you and for them, to execute it. And, you know, so I was, you know, very skeptical, but as we, you know, as we actually got into the summer, it became very clear to me and so many others that this wasn't going away anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we needed to get it going and figure out how to do this thing over Zoom. And, you know, so I think that, you know, that realization, you know, was a real starting point for me in learning, you know, learning how to execute a raise over yep. Zoom and some of the nuances.
So let's get into the weeds in this. So you're going to stall or delay, but then the trigger comes like, we got to go do this. So what's your game plan? What did you do?
Well, I at first I just tried to approach it like an ordinary raise, you know, yep. using my investors to open their Rolodexes and make introductions and set up meetings. I found almost immediately when I did a few pre-meeting, you know, kind of introductory practice runs, that this wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
Whenever you do a raise and you know, whether you're on Sand Hill or New York or whatever, when you walk into that room, that initial 5 to 10 minutes where you're meeting the partners and the associates and the principals, you really establish that rapport right then and there.
Yep,
and
yep.
You're understanding, you know, and I think it's important for all founders to, and people who are doing raises to remember that these people who are investing in you, they're going to be your partners for the next 3 to 5 years. And so that was really important to me, is kind of understand, you know, I want to make eye contact with them, shake their hand, see what they're like. And that wasn't part of it. So the initial few meetings I had was completely void of that connectivity. Sure. And I just felt like it was a massive failure. I mean, we start off the meetings, we put the PowerPoint up and just start going through it. You had no idea if they were looking at it. You had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
So I did probably 2 or 3 meetings like that. Total failure. You know, I was, you know, really, really concerned about, you know, how successful this was going to be. So, you know, I sat back and I thought about how could I change this. So what I pivoted to was, okay, I want to set up a meeting with, you know, XYZ VC firm. And what my request would be to them is say, hey, look, before we jump into the presentation and get into the details on this, I'd like just to have a 15 to 20 minute Zoom call with you where there's no presentation. It's just face to face. And we're just chatting about, I can learn a little bit about you. You can learn a little bit about me. I'll share high level thoughts about the business. And then you can decide if it makes sense for us to do a formal presentation. And you know what? Everybody loved that. Because that way, you know, it kind of gave them a chance to spend only 15 minutes of their day, you know, learning about us and deciding if they want to take it to the next level. But it also gave them a chance to meet me and me meet them in a more connected way. And, you know, that worked amazing. It really did, because in spite of the distance, you know, we were still able to look each other in the eye and get kind of a feeling for, hey, is this somebody I want to invest in? Or in my case, is somebody I want to work with? So, you know, kind of post that, we would, you know, if everything checked out and they were interested, we would do a more serious call with full presentation with my staff and their team and just kind of, you know, build from there. You know, the other one item that I would say that I did that, or I learned, you know, of course, the first time I did it, I just launched into the presentation, but I learned that initial part of the meeting, you know, maybe that 5 to 10 minutes that I talked about when you sit down with somebody in their conference room and look them up eye to eye, how I was kind of missing that. What I started doing in my presentations is I would do the initial, you know, kind of the initial summary without putting the presentation up. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of talk them through the business and then say, okay, now that we've kind of got to the high level, let's drill into the details. And so then we would go through the presentation. And then at the end, I would turn off the presentation again and just have some free form talking, because I really, really feel like, you know, having that face-to-face interaction, you have to maximize those opportunities in this race. Because, you know, again, I can't say it enough. Investors are, you know, they definitely have to believe in the business, the ROI, and, all the underpinnings of the business. But the most important thing is they're investing in you and the management team. Yeah. And so to the extent that you can elongate those conversations and basically build that rapport, it's absolutely essential in my opinion.
Interesting. I've got a couple of follow-up questions, all good stuff. When you're doing this initial first meeting, so you would schedule literally like, let's schedule a 20-minute initial meeting. What, you know, before having the pitch meeting, what were you asking them? Like, how are you kind of establishing rapport with them? What were you probing from them, right?
Yeah, so great question. So I just would start off the meeting and say, you know, thank you so much for your time. I'd love to hear more about you and your firm. Even, you know, most of the time I knew the firm and, you know, we read online, but, you know, it's really great to get them talking and interacting with you so they can, you get a sense of their personality and what they're like. And, you know, so that was very valuable. And then, of course, I would roll into, you know, kind of after they introed themselves and their firm to me, then I would, you know, follow suit and, you know, give them an intro to myself. And, you know, of course, in that environment, you can get a little bit more personal. How's your family doing? You know, those types of more, you know, questions that kind of give that connectivity, because I'm a big believer in, you know, establishing connections with investors early. So you can, you know, continue to, you know, you're building a database in your own brain about, you know, who's this person and is this the type of person that I'm going to want to be working with for the next 3 to 5 years?
So, yeah, it's pretty amazing that you're able to raise a really large round. Was it completely virtual? Did you meet any of these folks face to face?
I met one of them. I met the lead investor, Lawrence Tosi. Uh-huh. And it was, you know, I really had to prod it, you know, I had to really make it happen. And we had a lunch at, you know, right up here at the San Francisco Yacht Club. Uh-huh. And it was great. But outside of that, I haven't met anyone else.
That's awesome. Are you a sailor?
Well, I'm a fisherman.
Fisherman.
And yeah, so I'm, love getting out, going out of the gate and, you know, just kind of chilling out and catching some fish.
Any crabbing? You go out crabbing?
I probably pulled in about a thousand pound of crab, in December. It was amazing.
Really? What? Tell me the story on that real quick, and then we'll get back to the fundraising.
Sure. So, I have a boat, and we would, I have crab pots that we would put out into the bay and just leave them there. And then 3 or 4 days a week, go out and bring them in, check them, rebait them, and, move on.
So you have just a power boat and then a dozen crab pots or something, and you're doing this in between the recreational and commercial crab.
Right. Well, the commercial season didn't start until late December, and so it gave the it gave us non-pros a chance at free reign to bring in all the crabs.
Yeah. I have a little baby boat, little 24-foot. Sailboat, and I've got two pots. I'll go out just for the day. And
next season we'll get together.
I like
because obviously I didn't eat all those crab. I gave away a lot of them.
Yeah, no, that's I'll come back with like four, and I'll be pretty happy. Four crab, right? Like that's a good day for me. But okay, anyway, back to fundraising. Very interesting. How many meetings do you think you had? Like maybe give some shape of the funnel. Like, does it take more Zoom meetings than normal? Since you're doing it all remote, do you need to dial up the number of pitches or any other like color on it that you can share? Yeah.
I don't feel like that. I felt like I did more. I did about 100 meetings. Now, one of the things I think is very important, particularly when founders think about raising money, CEOs raising money, if for many reasons, it's a PR campaign.
Yeah.
So out of those 100 meetings I had, I would say there was probably 5 to 10 people who would potentially pull the trigger and invest.
Yeah.
The other 90 or so are people who just politely take the meeting because that's what they do. And they want to understand your business.
Yeah.
And, they want to put it in their database and follow you. So maybe, the next round or whenever they can participate, or they may, they learn things in these meetings. So I think that's all great. And I'm totally into that. But, at my last business, I raised, several hundred million dollars as well. And what would always frustrate me is these elongated roadshows over 3 weeks. Where I was basically, going to, 3 to 4 different firms on a daily basis. Sure. And, just wearing myself out. Yeah. Just for people who really would never invest. Right. I mean, it was just kind of a courtesy meeting on both our parts. So I felt like Zoom was, really awesome from the standpoint that it gave us a chance to meet with these firms and tell the Premise story. And tell the management team story. And, but it didn't require, such a tremendous effort around travel and, it wasn't such a heavy lift. And so I think that was a big win. And, so some people opine a lot on, how will this pandemic change, these different industries? And I really do believe that fundraising will change for the better as a result of the pandemic, because I think that entrepreneurs, CEOs, founders have all, basically they have learned and gotten confidence through success stories like Premise, where it went out and, raised almost $100 million without meeting anyone.
Sure.
And, so that was a real milestone. So I think that in the future, what we'll find is that people will use these initial meetings, like, what I've described, and more of the ones where it's like, yeah, we're interested. I'm not sure we'll invest. But, we'd like to hear the story. We do these over Zoom.
Yeah.
And then the ones where it's more serious and, there's a connection and a real desire to learn about the business and evaluate whether this a potential fit for their portfolio, those will be done face to face.
Yeah.
So instead of me hitting the road and doing a road show for 3 weeks, it may turn into, maybe just a 2 or 3 day adventure.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that from others too, that it's so much more efficient. You can pack in so many more, you know, you can almost double the number of meetings you have per day if you're not traveling between offices on Sand Hill Road and Palo Alto and Menlo Park and everywhere else. It'll be interesting to see, but I miss the face-to-face. Like I know our investors, it's hard to imagine, like if I could replay our fundraising round, that it would have happened virtually, right? Because it would.
I had the same mind block.
Yeah.
And I'm not disagreeing with you in any way that you cannot be face-to-face. You can't do it. But what we can use, the knowledge that we've gained from this, is that there are other means that we can get comfortable with to, execute these campaigns. And, initially, one of the other things that I found too was that, I was using my laptop as kind of my device, and it was very, very hard to talk into my laptop. So I invested and built up my own, essentially mobile video conference center. Yep. That I could wheel around in my house, which is what I'm on right now.
Cool.
And that made a huge difference.
Uh-huh.
in my ability to deliver a successful presentation.
Mm, for sure.
So that would be, I would say to, CEOs, founders, and the like who are looking to raise money, that, reach out to me. I'm happy to share, what I put together. It was less than $2,500 and it works amazing.
Maybe just list it real quick. What do you got there? Is it a professional camera, a microphone, monitor?
Yeah, so what I have, a mobile stand that I bought off of Amazon, a 60-inch TV that I also bought off of Amazon, for $500. And then I bought a Logitech camera, and basically they're set up for a Zoom room, which was a little bit more expensive. And so the equipment here, you can either hardwire it in, you can plug it into a network, or you can just do it over Wi-Fi. I'm using it over Wi-Fi right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. That's great. Cool. Any other just tips, tactics, things you did different, or just general advice for founders who want to replicate what you did and close a meaningful round over Zoom? Anything we haven't covered?
I think I touched on, at least 98% of it. I think the one thing that I would recommend is that, I set up my Zoom room, and then I practice with, the management team, us talking to it. So I think, there's definitely building a comfort level in talking into a camera that, some people are just very natural at, and I think if you're uncomfortable with that, you should definitely invest the time and just practice. And that will, that will make a difference and give you the confidence that you can successfully do this. I don't think anything that I did is revolutionary or something that, nobody could figure out on their own. Probably a lot of people are saying to themselves, yeah, I do that already. But, I really think that being able to toggle between your presentation and, basically the visualization of people's faces is just incredibly important in the process.
I was actually going to ask about that. How do you get your management team involved? Are they simply on the Zoom in different rooms, or are they sitting off camera next to you and you sort of swap them into the camera view, or, how are you getting your team onto these calls?
Is there any— Well, great question. My CFO lives in the neighborhood. So, she was part of my little pod.
Yep.
And so she would come over and basically sit right next to me.
Okay. Sure.
But my CTO and my CRO are in Cleveland and Houston respectively. So when we brought them into the call, they would just be part of the team, on the screen. Now, One of the, you know, I think this is a good point. One of the things I feel like doing things over Zoom gave us an advantage is that people are more willing to sit through things like product presentations and, you know, kind of dig in a little bit deeper. I think one of the real strengths of any tech company out there is to be able to show product. Sure. And, you know, a lot of times in these, you know, these road shows, you're only given an hour. And, you know, by the time you get in, get set up and get going, you're already done. So, but I found that people are much more willing to, if they were really interested in the company and the product and what it was we had to offer, they were much more willing to sit through a product presentation, which I think really adds a lot of color to your business. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, and, you know, I've been a CEO for many years now, but I still kind of frame myself as I'm a sales guy disguised as a CEO. And so I feel like, you know, it's really important a lot of times when you're selling to get people visualizing using your product. It's kind of that car salesman's tactic to get you in the car and fall in love with driving. And it's like, God, I got to have this.
Right.
And so I feel like in Silicon Valley, one of the advantages we have with product is, you know, we can actually give the product to investors and let them play with it. And we can also present it to them in this environment where they're much more willing to sit through a demo.
Yeah, interesting. Very good, very good. All right, last question. How far out do you go to drop those pots? Do you have a secret spot or?
Not really secret. I'll go out about 10 miles.
Yeah.
So I avoid all the poachers.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Right.
But what I found that, so at first I moved them out pretty far and I dropped them in 200 feet of water.
200 feet. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I moved them in a little bit. So, it was a great season. I mean, the crab were just huge and amazing.
What's your depth? What depth do you usually go in now? We're still 200 feet.
So I dropped them. So when I brought them in a little bit, it was about 150 feet.
150, yeah.
I don't have an automatic puller, so you know I'm doing it myself. And
you look pretty buff, so I guess.
Yeah, you're pulling up those crab pots every day. You're definitely gonna build up some arm strength for sure.
I love it. I go out and I feel like I come back about a pound or two lighter. Actually, like it's kind of my workout regimen is crabbing. So it's good stuff. All right. If people want to learn more about Premise, it's simply premise.com, right?
Correct.
Excellent. Any closing thoughts or anything you want to plug or promote? Is there any?
Well, you know, hey, if this is a new technology. So if, you know, if anyone listening out there has products and services that they want to measure impact in the world, we would absolutely love to hear from you. And, you know, I think that we can do things. And, you know, one of the things I always evangelize about technology to Premise and any other company I'm involved with is that we have to delight our customers. We have to delight them. It almost has to be magical. And one of the things that I love about Premise is that when we sit down and show people what it is we can do from a capability standpoint, not only are they delighted, they're overwhelmed by, you know, the richness of the data, the quality, the speed, you know, pretty much everything that we're able to produce.
Interesting. Cool. Very good. All right, Mari, I've kept you long enough. Thank you very much. Good luck with Premise, and we'll catch you after you're just at Series E. So we'll catch you after Series F, or maybe it's a IPO, whatever that may be.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
All right. Over and out. Thank you.
Take care.